employees of KFAR Radio or any of our respective employees, affiliates, or sponsors of this program.
Problems, problems, problems all day long. Will my problems work out right or wrong? My baby don't like anything I do. My teacher seems to feel the same way too.
Good morning, Fairbanks. You are listening to KFAR Radio. It's a nice Monday. We're at 660 on the AM dial, 97.5 on the FM dial, and we live stream here at kfarradio.com. This is Problem Corner. I'm your host, David Pruse. If you want to call into today's show, we're at 907-458-TALK, 907-458-8255. I have no guests today. Do not schedule one. Today's a short week for us. We have... Tomorrow, I have Brittany Smart with the Alaska Defense Forum, that they're event that they're putting on in late August. Wednesday, I have Joni Skillbred with History, last Wednesday of the month, and we're going to be looking at Father Monroe of the Monroe High School fame. And then Friday, we're off, and so it's just me and you today, and I want to talk about the 4th of July, of course. We have a pretty good event here in Fairbanks. You have different things that you can go participate in. You have a couple parades. You have the North Pole Parade, and that happens. And then they have a feast afterwards. You have the Esther Parade, and then they have a feast afterwards. Or we'll just call them picnics afterwards, that you can go to both locations and enjoy that. So there's just lots of things to do on the 4th of July, and it's on a Friday. So you get that 3-day weekend again. Now, if it's on a Thursday, it would have been fantastic because everyone calling sick on Friday, but what the heck? It's Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and some people will take off Monday. We'll see what happens. I'm a capitalist pig type person, real estate broker, so I take off as much time as I need or as little time as is available, depending on what I'm doing. So, but what are you going to do? What are you going to do on the 4th of July? Pioneer Park, they have a pretty good event out there. They've been doing it for a long time. From about 2000 to 2006, I was the official host of the event out there. And back then, we had a lot more military involvement. We were able to get flyers from A-10s, F-16s, things like that. Back then, they had the 9th Army Band up here, and they're stationed at Fort Wainwright, so we would get them going. And then we'd have these... howitzers doing the howitzer salute for the 50 state flag salute. And it was quite an event. And then you'd have different vendors doing many, many different things. But it's going to be a lot of fun. It starts at 10 o'clock. The 50 state flag salute starts about 1 o'clock. And they take the train and use the whistle there to congratulate each flag, each state that came in and when they came in. And then they give their official... name like, Alaska, the forget-me-not state or things like that. And it's a lot of fun. Some speeches will be made. They've asked me to come out there and say a few words. And so I will enjoy that. I will do that. I'm going to go out there, and it's going to be like 80 above that day. I already checked the weather. No rain. We got a hot, wonderful week here in front of us. Thank goodness we got some rain this last week because it put out fires and it helped water my lawn. And my lawn is looking great. Hopefully the get a little bit more water on it. That should be fun, as a matter of fact. But what are you going to do on the 4th of July? It's on a Friday. Then you got Saturday and Sunday. So it's a great 3-day weekend. Are you going someplace? Are you going to just enjoy a few things around town that are happening? We have comedy sometime. There's always something going on in Fairbanks. We just got through solstice where that was last weekend, and we finally had this weekend to recover from it. And then we're going into the 4th of July. Then right after that, we got two more weeks and we're going into Golden Days. And then we're at the last portion of July. We're halfway through our summer at Golden Days. My goodness. It just goes by fast, doesn't it? Just goes by fast. But what the heck? Have you ever looked at the 4th of July and what that stands for, what that means? You know, we all have great celebrations. We enjoy it. And it's the beginning of the end of us as colonies and the end of the beginning. It's the beginning of the beginning for us as states. And, you know, give you a little bit of history here. I enjoy, you know, you have different founding fathers, and different ones did different things to really help America along. And one of my favorites is Thomas Jefferson. Incredible person. I classify him as a great enigma, I guess we'll call it, a very mysterious character. What was he? You know, he taught himself violin. He's a farmer, a writer, a surveyor, a scientist. Lover of wines. He was an architect who never finished his house. Now ponder that. He helped found in the U.S. the first political party. He was twice elected as president, but he did not think that that achievement should be listed on his gravestone. He was a champion of small government, who took it upon himself to double the size of our young country. And he was the one who wrote the Declaration of Independence. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. All men are created equal. We still use that. You know, and that's the theme of America. In America, you can achieve anything in the world. Look at the richest people, you know, the bajillionaires. They're classified as new money, made up themselves. Everyone's reading about Jeff Bezos getting married in cons for, you know, the lavish wedding. He did it himself. Amazon. He started it himself. You know, in America, all men are created equal. What you choose to do with it after that is up to you. It's on you. You have your guarantee is life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, and that's it. It's up to you. And that's what I hold dear about America. Now, we are a nation dedicated to this proposition, and Jefferson wrote the proposition. You know, he was 33 when he wrote the Declaration of Independence. That's fairly young. You know, he taught himself Greek and Latin and the violin. You know, a person who can teach themselves foreign languages and to play one of the most toughest instruments that there is. Quite a mind. He started Monticello, and in his life he never really finished it. You know, some people they change out things. They never want to see the end. They don't want it to end, and that was him. Monticello stands for Little Mountain in Italian, and use Italian Renaissance as the basis of it. But we're going to take a commercial break. When we get back, we'll talk about him going to Pennsylvania, Philadelphia, and meeting with some people in 1774. Back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fish on! The Valdez Fishing Report is brought to you by Frontier Outfitters. Drop in and explore their extensive fishing department. Rods to reels, lures to lines. You'll see fresh and saltwater, as well as fly fishing tackle for every game fish in Alaska. Stock up on supplies for your Alaska-sized summer of fun. Coolers to camping gear. Frontier Outfitters is your first stop to making your next outdoor adventure a success. Your store for the outdoors. Frontier Outfitters, for your Alaskan lifestyle.
It's time for the Valdez Fishing Report. Interviews, derby standings, tips, and advice for Prince William Sound.
Lori Prox here with Thale Steenhoven.
You are a Valdez Fish Derby's clerk this year. So what are your hot tips for people wanting to hit Valdez and catch a big one in the Valdez Halibut Derby?
Well, the first thing is you have to get a ticket. They're $10 and it gives you a chance at a myriad of prizes. And if you come into the Derby Shack while I'm working there, you'll be able to see one of the cutest puppies in the whole world. Her name's Gemma. And she's really sweet, so come by and say hello.
All right, $10 for a daily ticket, $50 for a season.
Yes.
And you do have to buy two tickets, right, if you go on a two-day charter?
You do.
Or the season ticket.
Or right? A season ticket. And on a private boat, everybody in the boat has to have a derby ticket for it to be valid. Now, one of the things with a charter, if you're going out on a charter, the charter, you don't have to have, everybody doesn't have to have a ticket because your captain is your witness. But why would you go on a charter and not buy a derby ticket? It's $10 and the possibility, and I can't tell you how many times somebody has gone out on a charter, you know, paid for their charter and gone and caught the biggest fish of the week and missed out on a really nice prize package. It's sad.
Park your rig, pitch a tent, or check into your private cabin at Eagles Rest RV Resort, then explore Valdez. Eagles Rest RV Resort is the perfect place to land in Valdez. Book RV sites, glamping tents, and cabins online at eaglesrestrv.com. We now accept online reservations for our tent area. Nothing beats summer in Valdez, so the sooner you book, the better. eaglesrestrv.com. See you in Valdez.
KVAK's Valdez Fishing Report. Fish Valdez and reel in a big one.
KFAR weather.
Sunshine mixed with clouds at times today, with daytime highs approaching 78. Winds out of the west around 5 miles an hour. Lows dip down to about 55, with fog in spots tonight, partly cloudy. A blend of clouds and sun tomorrow, highs level off around 83. That's your weather on KFAR, 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Derek Height.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. David Prues in the studio here. We're talking about 4th of July. Now I'm talking about a little bit national stuff, actually, for I rarely do that, but once in a while I will. But it's 4th of July. It's a national 249th birthday this Friday. And it's also my mom's birthday if she was alive. Should be 98. My goodness. Quite a lady, Del Prues, but Mom, here's to you. And happy birthday on Friday. So, in 1774, the Continental Congress first met in Philadelphia. And what were they going to do, and how were they going to do it? Well, we had some many, many leaders down there. Benjamin Franklin. You know, they had George Washington was going to be there, but all of a sudden he had to go start fighting a war. But this time we've already had Lexington and Concord battles. And all the delegates who were elected, they met in Philadelphia, 1774. Now, a lot of positioning was going on and a lot of oration. And it's my belief that Thomas Jefferson knew he was not a great orator. So he let his pen do his talking early and often. And he wrote an essay, 1774, The Summary View of the Rights of British America. Now, he wrote the association of the Crown and colonists was purely voluntary. Parliament had no right to rule over Americans. They were calling themselves Americans back then, continent of America. His essay was widely read in both America and London. Now, when you're writing something like that, you're committing treason. The British had fought a war with the French and Indian War over this area. The British had won. They had fought for this piece of real estate, and they believed the British monarchy, King George III, thought it was his, as did Parliament, thought that the America was his, under his title, under his fiefdom. And here's a farmer from Monticello, Virginia, saying, no, it's purely voluntary. So basically he was writing his death sentence, we could say. Jefferson was doing that. And anything that came out of this from 1774 onward, the people involved, they were traitors, treason. Boy, were they brave, though. So in June of 1775, you know, they chose delegates of from Virginia. And by then, again, they had fought in Lexington, Concord. You know, the American fight was on. In 1775, the king ruled in France and England. In 1775, a czarina ruled in Russia. That's when these guys are meeting. In 1775, you had a sultan in Constantinople. In 1775, you had an emperor in Peking and a shogun in Japan. And Mexico was a product of France. Had a president appointed by the King of France. But in June of 1775, a small group of merchants met. Also, there were planters, farmers, lawyers. They met in Philadelphia to begin discussions on governing themselves. Manifest Destiny, that would come later. But this is the start of it. Our destiny manifests with us. Now, you have some very interesting people there. And John Adams was a friend, then an enemy, then a friend again. He's a friend during the Continental Congress. He became an enemy during George Washington's first two terms. They're on different sides of the political spectrum, very different. Then they went against each other for presidency, with John Adams winning and Jefferson being his vice president, but they didn't get along. We're going to take a phone call. Good morning, you're on KFAR Radio, and your name is?
Hello, this is Randy.
Randy, what are you up to?
Boy, this terrible interference on his phone. I don't know if something's wrong with my phone. I'm going to use my other phone to call you. I'll call you back later.
Okay, we'll talk to you later.
Goodbye.
Anyway, John Adams. And now, John Adams said about Jefferson, he never heard Jefferson utter more than three sentences together, that he was a silent member, but so prompt, frank, explicit, and decisive in the over 34 committees that he was engaged in. I'm going to take a phone call here. Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio, and your name is?
Randy again.
Hello, Randy again. How are you doing?
Yeah, there's some terrible squeal in my other phone. I don't know what the heck's going wrong with it. But anyway, I just wanted to say that July 4th is a wonderful day to think about freedom and the Constitution and the limits of government power for unlimited government. But the sad thing, unfortunately, is that though July 4th is a wonderful day, July 1st, which is tomorrow, is a bad day, in my opinion, because ballot measure number one, which was passed last November in 2024, is going to come into effect, and that bad ballot measure, in my view, takes away human freedom, and because what it does is it forces an increase in the minimum wage, it mandates sick pay, sick leave payments, and it curtails, to some extent, the freedom of speech amongst small business owners. And I think all three of those things are contrary to freedom, and they're bad, therefore.
Okay. What do you got planned for the 4th of July?
Besides shedding tears about ballot measure number one, you mean? Okay. Well, that's tomorrow. I'll shed the tears. July 4th, after bring out my handkerchief and everything, I'll ride my bicycle down to Pioneer Park, maybe.
There you go.
Yeah.
I will see you down there, sir. You have a great day.
Okay.
Bye. Yeah, that should be fun at Pioneer Park. Now, Thomas Jefferson was on 34 different committees. Wow. But then again, you're looking at the nucleus of forming a nation and everything. This is the very beginning of it. You know, he's a brilliant committee man, but not a distinguished orator. He was 33 years old, one of the youngest members of the Congress. You know, this is a genteel age. And my goodness. Now, he's a young man. Been married about 6-7 years, got married when he was 27. He's had a couple kids. And he's not here, not heard from his family since September 1775. And that's when his second daughter, Jane, died, at the age of 17 months. So he's away and he's having personal tragedies. And it'd take him a week to travel from Philly to Virginia. So then they're working on things in 1775. Then in 1776, June 7th, he introduces a resolution that these United Colonies, they're still colonies, should be free and independent states. The first time you hear the word states, we're not colonies anymore, we're states. And a resolution to vote on it in early July of 1776. So, there was an established committee to draft the Declaration of Independence. Benjamin Franklin was asked to write the first draft and refused because he made it a policy, his own policy, where he would not write a document that was subject to the editing of others. Now, doesn't that sound like Ben Franklin? something else. So then both Jefferson and Adams was assigned to it. And Jefferson looked at Adams and said, you should do it. And Adams said, oh, no, my friend. You're going to do it. And these are the three reasons. One, you're a Virginian. And a Virginian must be the head of this business. Virginia was, at that time, the most elegant, elite colony that they had, I would say. Two, he said, this is what John Adams said. He said, I am John Adams, and I am disliked and obnoxious. And if I write it, it will lack credibility. He knew himself. And then he said, three, Thomas Jefferson, you are 10 times a better writer than I am. So that's how it came to Thomas Jefferson to write the Declaration of Independence. He sat in his room for a week. Took only a few days to write it, though. And it was to be an expression of the American mind. Everything that they had gone through. And it still is read to the world. Still inspires. Probably the closest thing of magic words of American history. But hey, we're going to take a commercial break. We'll be back after these messages. We'll be right back.
Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM.
Fox News of John Saucier. The Congressional Budget Office estimates President Trump's so-called Big Beautiful Bill will add almost $4 trillion to the national debt. Oklahoma Senator Mark Wayne Mullen on Fox says he believes the CBO is looking at the wrong information.
But if you look underneath current law and say that we're going to make the current law permanent, and so the current policy is going to become permanent, it's actually a surplus. So we are continuing to pay down the deficit. The fact is $1.6 trillion is going to be the largest deficit cut in American history.
President Trump criticizing Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell as the central bank leaves the benchmark interest rate unchanged despite the president's calls to lower it, White House Press Secretary Karoline Leavitt.
I would remind the Fed chair and I would remind the entire world that this is a president who was a businessman first, and he knows what he is doing. He has a proven economic formula that worked in his first term as president, and it is working again.
America's listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
According to a press release from the Fairbanks Police Department, on Sunday, June 29th, at approximately 7 p.m., the body of 24-year-old Christian Diaz was recovered from the Chena River near the Pioneer Park boat launch. Multiple agencies and dedicated volunteers had been searching continuously since Diaz entered the river Friday evening. The Fairbanks Police Department is deeply grateful to everyone who assisted in the search and recovery efforts, including personnel from the Fairbanks Fire Department, University Fire, Fairbanks Police Department, Village Public Safety officers, service members from Eielson TACP and Eielson SEER, volunteers from PAWS Search and Rescue, and volunteers in police, also divers from Hardcore Divers and all others that helped in the search or assisted the family of Diaz. On Friday, June 27th, witnesses reported that a man had gone missing after his kayak overturned. Diaz is a 24-year-old American service member who was stationed at Kunsan Air Base in Korea, who was visiting Eielson Air Force Base for training.
Streaming live online at KFAR660.com.
The Find Out Free Pregnancy Center provides free, confidential pregnancy tests to any woman in need. But they offer so much more to women, men, and families. By participating in one-on-one parenting classes selected by you, you can take advantage of Earn While You Learn, earning valuable credit to spend on children's items and clothing in Maria's Boutique. The Find Out Free Pregnancy Center. Call 907-455-8255 or visit online findoutfree.com. Findoutfree.com.
Hi, this is Dr. Amy Seiberlich here to tell you about Health Talk. Every Saturday at noon, join Dr. Scott Looper from White Spruce Medical and special guests like me who have our fingers on the pulse of Fairbanks Golden Heart. Learn about a wide range of topics and pick up some beneficial health tips and practical health information pertinent to interior Alaskans. Listen live every Saturday at noon or online anytime at kfarradio.com. Health Talk with Dr. Looper, brought to you by White Spruce Medical. Check us out at whitesprucemedical.com.
I shall never see a poem as lovely as a... Oh, hello. Are you surprised to learn that I love poetry? It's true. Poems have such a pleasant flow about them. Don't you think? I do my best work when I'm not, you know, bloated. My family calls Bigfoot pumping and thawing just once a year to keep my poetry flowing. I serve them much better. The Bigfoot with a helping hand.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. David Prison Studio here. Hopefully you're having a nice day. It's beautiful out there. We're talking a little bit about 4th of July, the Declaration of Independence. Now, he submitted it on the 2nd of July, and it was ratified on the 4th of July by 12 out of the 13 colonies. The only colony that didn't approve it on the 12th out of the 12 was New York, and they approved it a few days later. And that's when we became the United States. All of a sudden, boom, you're a government. But I've got a question for you. You know, the most famous signature on that document is John Hancock. What state is John Hancock from? Give me a call. See if you can get it. You had different states. Now they're states. You had Georgia, Maryland, Delaware, Massachusetts, North Carolina, Virginia, New York, Rhode Island, Connecticut, New Jersey, New Hampshire, Pennsylvania, and South Carolina. Those are the 13, Virginia. And Thomas Jefferson was from Virginia. Some of the other famous people, Samuel Adams was from Massachusetts. John Adams was from Massachusetts also. You know, some Oliver Wolcott was from Connecticut. You know, some very big names that started our country, and the states or the colonies where they started, and the states that ended up where they were from. And this document was basically, everyone who signed it, they're a traitor, they're committing treason in the eyes of King George III, and therefore you're going to be beheaded, quartered, you know, entrails ripped out and all that fun stuff. And if you, and here's, they're all signing it. They're all signing it. But where was John Hancock from? What state? Does anyone know? Well, He was from the great state of Massachusetts. That's right, Massachusetts. So anyway, a little bit of history there. And hopefully you enjoy my rendition of that little bit of history. A little bit of this and that, and, you know, it had some notes and what the heck. But goodness. On the local side, they did not pass the increase of tax from 8% to 12% at the borough for the your hotel, motel, your bed tax. They did not do that, which is good. If they would have passed it, it would have went to the voters, and it surely would have passed. But here's the thing that most people don't understand about, or maybe you will right now. Fairbanks, Alaska is rated as the number four most expensive vacation destination in the United States. And it surprised me. And Anchorage is number five, and why? Well, they look at three things: hotel rooms, airfare, and food, you know, dining. And let's look at the airfare. You know, for me to go from wherever I go, from Fairbanks to Seattle, is twice as much, if not two-thirds, you know, as much as any place I go after that on Alaska Airlines. Once I get to Seattle, the destination costs drop significantly. They load up more plane reservations in the summer on more planes coming up, and they charge well for them. And then they decrease the plane activity in the winter when there's less people coming up. And so it's an expensive flight to get from Fairbanks to Seattle or Anchorage to Seattle. I mean, it just is. Hotel rooms, my goodness. Down in the Golden Heart Plaza on last Saturday during our solstice celebration, people were telling me that they're paying $700 a room a night for a room in Fairbanks that night. You know, coming up here, the average rate is so high in the summer, and then your food costs. So you're going to add more to that? Boy, I'm glad they didn't do it. And I always looked at, you know, the city of Fairbanks, we can go up to 12% without a vote of the people, because when we put our bed tax in, we could go up to 12%. So if the borough would have taken that, we could never have gone up again. The 12% would have been there, and the borough would have taken the money for whatever they wanted. Fortunately, it didn't happen. If it would have been to a vote of the people would have voted in. That's my thought. However, what was the real meaning behind this in my thoughts, my eyes? My thought was Tammy Wilson did something quite astute. We'll see if it works in the future. But she has everyone except for Nick Lajinus on record of not wanting to increase taxes to pay for parks and rec or services that the borough give out. And they came in 2024 with an increase of taxes, and they came with $7 of the total amount that they could receive, $7. And this year, they went into deficit spending, and they could do that. City of Fairbanks, we can't do that. So Tammy has them all on the record now, except for one person saying, no new taxes. You voted on it. Don't go to the well for real estate. Y'all went to the well to have that special real estate tax of $9 million on real estate. That was against our Constitution. So my personal opinion is she's very adroit at framing this. We don't go to taxes now. We had the choice. We had the chance. You said no. And this wasn't going to be paid by you. This is going to be paid by visitors. But eight of us assembly members said no. So let's live within our budget. Let's finally live within our budget. Anyway, that's what I think she did. And she did it well. On the city side, we approved 7 of 8 applicants for our downtown storefront improvement program. And we had $250,000 set aside for it. Now, here's the interesting thing about it. You know, they're looking at taxing the bed tax more. And the borough took $500,000 that was supposed to go towards a bed tax and use it to fund their own things in their government. And here, the Explore Fairbanks, they had $500,000 taken away, but they contributed $50,000 to our program for other groups and entities down there. Very, very good. So so far we have $192,000 of money from our bed tax dedicated towards this area of improvement. It's nothing new. It's from the same pool that we have of money. No, not a new tax, but is distributed this way, and we're getting a total so far of over $550,000, including our $192,000 contribution of downtown improvement between 1st and 4th Avenue, Barnett Street, and Noble Street. Next year, we're going to expand it to about 6th Avenue and Cowles. More businesses, wildly successful. A lot of people called in on it. A lot of people really liked that hopefully we do it next year. They were out of the area. And so it's one of those plans that seems like it's going to work. And we don't give them the money and say, here you go. What we do is they do the work, and we reimburse them on a 50-50 basis for the billings that occur up to a specific amount that they've asked for. So if they ask for $22,000 and their total project is $50,000, upon completion, we give them $22,000 and they pay $28,000. Simple as that. So it's a good win-win for everyone. And it's a good way to another step in cleaning up. I'm not going to say cleaning up the downtown anymore. That's cleaned up. But better presenting the downtown. So that's what we're doing. Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break. We will be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Hey parents, if you want your kids to learn how to fish and actually catch one, then Valdez is the place. The Valdez Kids Pink Salmon Derby is Saturday, July 19th. Kids age 5 to 16 get a free hat at the Derby weigh-in station. Then cast a line from shore or a boat to catch a pink salmon. Visit ValdezFishDerbies.com for more information on how to enter and have a chance to win one of four $100 grand prizes or fishing poles. The Valdez Kids Pink Salmon Derby is free. Get all the details at ValdezFishDerbies.com.
Are you planning a big sales event at your business? Well, the very best way to get the word out to the public is through our 50-50 Friday promotion right here at the radio station. It's 50-50 Friday, where your business and events are featured every hour, 24 hours a day, for an entire week on not one, but eight of the top radio stations in Fairbanks, reaching thousands and thousands of people, plus a second week where we offer your business 100 radio ads to use as you wish. 50-50 Friday offers more than 11,000 dollars in radio promotion to your business. So what does it cost? Only some gift certificates, which we offer on all of our websites on Friday at 50% off. So if you have a big sale on the horizon, well, you need to let folks know about it so that it's a successful event. Call us at the radio station and get it on 50-50 Friday. But hurry, as these Friday dates fill up fast. It's 50-50 Friday, only from the radio station, your local family of radio stations.
Whether you've got one tree dangerously hanging over your house, deck, or shed, or you need acres of trees cleared for building or fire safety, the one to call is Great Alaska Tree Company. They specialize in those tricky, hard-to-get-to areas. Licensed, bonded, and insured, Great Alaska Tree Company. Professional, affordable, and reliable. With stump grinding, brush cutting, chipping, and pruning.
Hi, this is Eric with Great Alaska Tree Company. Call me for a free estimate for your year-round and emergency service at 978-4702.
KFAR Weather.
Sunshine mixed with clouds at times this afternoon, with daytime highs approaching 78. Winds out of the west around 5 miles per hour. Partly cloudy skies with fog in spots tonight. Lows level off around 55. Daytime highs approaching 83 tomorrow. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. David Prue's in the studio here. Hopefully you're having a great day. It is beautiful out. You know, it's basically coming into 80 above. This is a Fairbanks summer. My allergies are starting to creep in, so if I start sounding nasally or sneezing on the air, it's just my lot in life to have allergies. But I did find a very good eye drop that my oldest brother Dana told me about, and it seems to be working, so I'm glad with that. So what the heck? But what do you got planned for the 4th of July? What are you going to do? You have the parade out in North Pole, the parade in Esther. After the parade out in North Pole and in Esther, there's barbecues, picnics, things like that going on. We have a whole slew of things that are going to be happening at Pioneer Park. You just Google it. You know, they have kids face painting, kids parade, all sorts of stuff going on. You have the celebration of the 4th of July, the 50 state flag salute going on, speeches to be made, all that fun stuff. So everyone, go out there, do something, enjoy the day. It's going to be 80 above, my goodness. And go enjoy it. Excuse me, that was not a sneeze, that was a cough. But what the heck. Anyway, so City of Fairbanks seems to be doing good. We finally have hired a deputy city attorney. We've been looking for one for about a year now, and we finally have one. Someone who's born and raised in Fairbanks, is clerking in Kodiak, passed the bar already, is a sitting attorney, and starts in October. So we're happy about that. That is for sure. Other than that, everything's going well down there. So the borough seems to be operating as the borough does. Borough school district seems to be operating as the borough school district does. They've got a few meetings, and they've got to figure out how to take a $2.5 million hit and what to do with that. And they're looking at not dropping class sizes or increasing class sizes to handle it. Again, they probably won't be hiring people who are in positions that are retiring and things like that. And boy, but here's the thing about it. You know, 85-90% of their issue is salaries. 85% of their budget is salaries. And they got a very good collective bargaining agreement in place 3 years ago. So it's coming up this year. And when they did that, it was literally said, okay, if we give you this raise, we're shutting down schools because we only have so many dollars in the fund here. And so this was projected and predicted that they'd be shutting down schools. They shut down the two in Allison. They've already shut down Joy and the one on Hamilton Drive. This year they went for the repurpose, the one out on Chino Hot Springs Road and the one out in Salcha, and they're shutting down completely the one out in, off of Pearl Creek School. So they've looked at seven elementary schools, and everyone wants that neighborhood elementary school. But with the way education has changed, you know, 10 years ago, we're reaping the issues from 10 years ago. They started putting social programs, socialization on in a not a very good way either, as a priority, and parents started removing their kids from school. And then COVID happens and more kids were removed from school. And they've never come back. So now you have a competition for homeschool children. The Fairbanks School District has the best program, but it's well behind in regards to marketing, behind other ones, such as Nenana, the Lynx system, the one out, you know, a couple other ones out there. So it's about the number four in actuality. And the students are from Fairbanks, and the school district does not get the money for those homeschool children by out-of-area homeschool programs. Interesting, sad, but you have some pretty astute people on the school board, and that's probably what they're going to be doing. They're probably saying, okay, well, how do we get students back? And if we don't get them back, how do we get them in the best program? And it takes time and effort. Everyone's seems to be yelling at the governor and for vetoing. And you know he was going to do this. You know, he did not have issues with the amount. He had issues with the amount and no oversight, no goals, no requirements. Here's the money. You don't have any requirements. That's not this type of governor. And so, anyway. Hence, you know, a school district right now, they can't place their money on getting funded if there's a veto override in January or February. Because their school district, they start, their fiscal year starts on July 1. July 1. So they don't get to, oh, we're going to wait to make these cuts because we think there's going to be a veto override. They don't get to do that. So, sad. Anyway, on a sadder note, we had a visiting Air Force member pass away in the Chena River. Kayaking without wearing a life preserver, overturned on the Chena River, a dangerous river, and we lost him. It was very sorry to hear that, very sad. Boy. City of Fairbanks, the VSPOs, Village Safety Public Officers, all were out there looking for him. They did find the body, which is nice, but very sad. You know, believe it or not, the Chena River can be a dangerous river, so be aware of that. And if you're on the river, wear life vests. That way your worries are minimal. And go ahead and do that. So anyway, but this is a short week. Tomorrow I have Brittany Smart. She is with She's putting on a three-day forum up here, the Alaska Defense Forum up here, 3 days. And so we're going to be going through that tomorrow on the air with her. She was in, for about 10 years, she was in the borough's mayor's office there. And one of his assistants there worked in the office. Very astute person, works up the university now and coordinates this event. And then on Wednesday, last show of before July 4th weekend, Joni Skillbred. And we're doing Father Monroe. That should be fun. I'm sure she's going to give me a lot of history. I really don't know that much about him, even though I graduated from Monroe High School. And you know what the heck? Looking forward to that. You know, with Joni, you're always going to learn something. Her and Nick Nugent are so popular. Everyone loves Wednesdays on this show and appreciate that because we bring in some very good people to operate it. And Joni's just a top class act. And it's a lot of fun because Joni is like the microeconomics and Nick is the macroeconomics. Nick does states and, you know, different things like aviation. We've done a lot of aviation and exploration of different regions. And Joni does a very specific item around here in Fairbanks. So it's a great combination. It's a great combination. And two different styles of presentation, and they both work. And everyone enjoys it, so what the heck. But hey, we got about 2 minutes left enjoying today. Have you learned a little bit about the Declaration of Independence, Thomas Jefferson? And the thing about Thomas Jefferson, when he got done writing it and it got ratified, I'm saving the best for the end here, he immediately left to go home. He didn't gloat, champion himself as the author of the Declaration of Independence. It wasn't until after he passed away, after he's done being president, that he became known as the author of the Declaration of Independence. A very humble, astute person who was resolute in his convictions and what he did and how he did it. He's a slave owner. No getting away from that. But just an incredible self-taught individual. His library, he gave it to the University of Virginia, established the library there when he passed away. And very knowledgeable in religion, engineering, geometry, surveying, started chemistry, spoke Latin and Greek. Now, why you'd speak Latin and Greek back then? Greek because of the great democracy and the authors and Socrates and things like that. Latin, dying language, don't know why, but I guess it was the thing to do. So anyway, but heck of a person. And he was the author of the Declaration of Independence. And the pain and suffering that the tragedy he went through during that time frame from 1774 to 1776, him writing that and being away from his family, children, siblings dying, and boy, they don't make them like they used to, I guess we could say. But anyway, a very incredible man at a very incredible time for a very incredible deed, the creation of the United States of America. And he wrote the preamble. He wrote the heart. He was the third president of the United States. He was a person who wanted small government, but he doubled the size with a purchase from France. And he got that done. Fairbanks, that is our show for the day. You have a great day.